Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Candy Taylor Jeter, aka Single Mama Diva, and I am here with my dear friend Mark E. Gibson, and he's going to talk with us about a very special topic, and we will be discussing living unconditional love. He is the author of that book, and he will help coach us on how we can achieve greater peace of mind and feelings of well-being and apply his principles of learning how to live unconditional love. Mark will discuss the three hurdles to unconditional love, which I'm excited to hear, and he will explain how your commitment to freedom, sharing, forgiveness, and honesty can help you overcome your feelings of anger, guilt, revenge, and low self-esteem. He's looking forward to speaking with us, and he wants to help us make significant improvements. And for those of you who were listeners of the last show I had with Mark, I had gotten some comments from a couple of people on Facebook who said that they really felt his genuineness come through. So I have felt that as well. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you once again and again, because he will be back, Mark E. Gibson.
Mark E. Gibson.
Hi, Mark. Are you there?
I'm speaking into my phone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. How are you?
Good. You even make it very official by putting my middle initial in there, Mark E. Gibson. Thank you.
Yes. I want people to be able to find you.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get started, I want to give out Mark's website, which is www.relaxyourlifenow.com. And his number is 530-926-5968. You can also email him at coachmark@relaxyourlifenow.com. I'll be giving that information out throughout the broadcast so that everyone can get in touch with you, Mark, because you definitely have something significant to offer and something that's very needed. And we're going to have fun today talking about unconditional love. What is unconditional love?
Yes, boy, isn't that the question, huh? Well, first off, I'd like to thank all our listeners for coming on board with our talk today, and I highly encourage people to come forward with their questions, because I just love to share these ideas with people and values, and we all benefit from it. So I encourage people to step forward with their questions as the call progresses, and you can monitor that, Candy, and we'll have some great conversation here. And getting back to answering your question, what is unconditional love? Actually, it's been quite a struggle for me over the years to work up a definition of it, but I think I have one that works for me. And if I had to decide what it is, just so I can have a handle on it, it's the intent to create happiness for yourself and others through forgiveness, sharing, freedom, and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So those four terms there, forgiveness, sharing, freedom, and honesty, are what I consider to be the pillars of unconditional love. In the other discussions that I've had, people have said, well, Mark, how does unconditional love differ from love in general? Why do we put that term on the front, unconditional? I think most everybody can understand that unconditional means basically under all conditions I will love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exceedingly challenging for virtually everybody. That's
mm-hmm.
why I put the word intent in front, because
very good. Yeah.
It's not always easy to do, but like most other things, it's something that gets better with practice. And the idea behind unconditional love is to grasp a concept that you believe in and follow through with a commitment to apply it when it's easy and also when it's hard. And some of the,
right.
I mean, when people talk about love, and we use the term routinely when we say to our children or our significant other, I love you, we're talking about kind of an emotional love with romance. It's a romantic or a passionate type of love with our families. It's a family type of love. And one of the things that makes unconditional love different from those other two types of love is that it's something that we choose to do intellectually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We understand, we have a concept of what an unconditional love is, and then we choose to live it. So what I would like to do with our listeners today is discuss in greater detail, how do we live it, and why would I choose to do it? Why would I choose unconditional love? What's in it for me? Well, how can I connect to the rest of the world as an unconditionally loving person?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And once we practice that, which I think is the key to everything, is, like you said, making the conscious decision to just do it, whether you're inspired to or not, and experiment with it, and see if the pros don't outweigh the cons.
Yes.
And a lot of the times, you know, it happens. It happens, again, with our bodies, and it happens with things that we choose to do as far as
mm-hmm.
any type of discipline. So would you look at unconditional love as a disciplinary type of something that takes discipline, or do you find that it's already there just waiting to come out, or a little bit of both?
Now, it's actually a little bit of both, and from my experience, my research, and working with other people on unconditional love, that when we take it to its highest level, it's actually about our spiritual commitment.
Exactly.
So it almost, as we develop our commitment to unconditional love, we're really almost not choosing to do it. We suddenly feel like, this is what I do. There's no choice involved. And if we consider the pillars that I talked about in terms of forgiveness, sharing, freedom, and honesty, most people want to live those values. The question is, how often do they? And what are the challenges in day-to-day life to adhering to those? A person who is truly committed to unconditional love lives at such a high level that they automatically go to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even presented with the choice of saying, well, do I want to forgive or not? Perhaps mm-hmm. if they're going to question that, the first word comes out is do, and they immediately stop because they know where the question is going, and they already know what the answer is too. So, but
now how connected is unconditional love for others to unconditional love for ourselves?
Yes, they are very connected. The principles are the same, and we simply ask ourselves, how do I want to treat myself? It's the same as how do I want to treat others? What do I want? I would want to be forgiven. I would like people to share. I would like to have people allow me to indulge in the freedom that I was born with, and I want people to be honest. So then the question is, am I allowing that for myself? In our inner dialogue, we can ask ourselves those questions and come
and
to develop our
own. I don't want to jump ahead, and you let me know if I'm doing it, but
mm-hmm.
I was excited wanting to know what the three hurdles of unconditional love
right.
are.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Can I present one thing before we go on with that?
Okay.
And that would be a closer look at why somebody would choose to live unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book that I wrote, which is currently being edited and has not been published yet, I have quite a bit of a list of quite a few items of why would I do it? Why would I choose unconditional love? But I think some things that are pertinent to single mothers and the challenges that they face, you touched on when you introduced me earlier, and it's about finding resolution for the pain of low self-esteem, anger, fear, revenge, and guilt, of learning to coming from an unconditionally loving place helps one to move through that pain and eliminate it from one's life. Other things that happen when people start to live unconditional love is that they experience greater positive synergy throughout their life with other people. Mental stability increases. You minimize destructive unconscious attitudes and behaviors. Buttons don't get pushed much anymore. In fact, you may not even have buttons anymore. You remove violence from your life. You can release the burdening weight of the dead negative baggage of your past. You can dwell more and more in your higher self. And unconditional love restores your unity with mankind. So there's just a few incentives for people to consider in terms of why would I want to choose unconditional love? For me, it allows people to really develop their quality of life and personal effectiveness, and ultimately allows them to become closer to their godliness and their spirituality.
Right.
So, could I go back to the three hurdles now?
Yes.
Unless you have a question.
I absolutely have nothing to add to that. That was perfectly put.
Oh, okay. Well, the concept that I developed around the three hurdles was after careful examination of something practical. I tend to be a pragmatist. I'm talking about in my book, An Unconditional Love, and in my stress relief and relaxation coaching, I'm talking about real stuff that people can use every day in their lives for improving their lives and making a positive contribution to humanity. So eventually I boiled the unconditional love down to these three hurdles as a tool for somebody to ask themselves as they're about to develop an attitude or display an attitude or a behavior. And these can be applied any moment, every time, anywhere in anybody's life as kind of a guideline for, am I going to be an unconditionally loving person now, or am I choosing less than that? And the three hurdles are, what is your intention? What is your means? And what is your effect? Or it could be effects. What are your effects as a result of your attitude or behavior? So the three hurdles, intention, means, and effect. And when we were presented with a choice, a person coming from unconditional love will immediately run through these questions in their mind. And if the attitude or behavior clears all three of those hurdles, it will be an unconditionally loving action or behavior. If it doesn't, then it falls short somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I can just give one little example of how that works. And, for instance, people frequently operate when they're in a frame of mind of anger. They frequently make choices that have to do with revenge or getting even, or I'll teach him or her a lesson or something like that.
Right.
So if a person's inner dialogue says, this will teach him a lesson. If we go to the three hurdles of love, the first, unconditional love, the first question is, what is your intention? Well, your intention, as stated, is, I'm going to teach him a lesson. Now, how loving does that sound?
Right.
Not very.
Right.
So, right away.
And he's already learning the lesson. We just don't realize it. I think that's the thing that you get caught up in, especially when you're younger and you have a whole lot of unused energy. Some friends and I were talking about evolving through our 20s and in relationships, and how when we were younger, it was all about, you know, being fair. Oh, you're not going to do that. I'll show you. You know, that's not fair. You know, you're not going to get away with that. You know, and realizing that you're just spinning your wheels, because there are lessons in every experience, and when you try to control lessons, you usually end up going through whatever you went through in vain and continue to go through it until you learn how to just let the universe actually take over.
Mm-hmm. And it has a lot to do with intent here. So if we examine our attitude first, which precedes behavior, if we examine our attitude for intent, if somebody's intent is to get even, well, right away, you know, the buzzer goes off. Sorry. Doesn't clear the first hurdle for unconditional love. So right away, that approach, that intent is not acceptable in terms of a person striving to live unconditional love. So that's only the first hurdle, though. We go to the next hurdle now. What is your means? So suppose that our intent here is to secure the love of our children. Well, gosh, that sounds great. We want to secure the love of our children. So that clears the first hurdle. The next hurdle, the second one, is what is your means? And suppose the means that a person chooses is to perpetuate a lie that demeans your ex.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that we're trying to make the ex look bad, so relatively speaking, and being two parents, we look good. So if we look good, we assume our children are going to love us more. So we want to secure the love of our children, but we're going to choose to do it by perpetuating a lie that is demeaning to another person. Well, there's the buzzer again. The intent is good, but the means doesn't work. The means is destructive. So that approach doesn't work either in terms of trying to live unconditional love. If we go to another example where we go to all three hurdles, how about our intent to feel wealthy and achieve feelings of well-being by working hard and accumulating material and financial wealth? That's the means. The intent is to have a feeling of wealth and well-being. Well, that clears the first hurdle. That's a reasonably acceptable intent. The means by accumulating wealth from working hard, that's fine. But if we look at the effects or the effect that we could have, there's a good chance that that accumulation of wealth is probably going to create excess for you and shortages for others. In effect, we will end up with what we would consider to be called hoarding or greed, wherein we accumulate excess, which is now material or wealth that is unavailable to other people. And hence we have the term hoarding, which kind of is, you know, is excessive accumulation of wealth and material. So the first two hurdles are cleared, but the third one, the effect that it has on oneself and other people, is not considered a loving action because it doesn't pass one of the pillars, which was sharing. Part of one of the four pillars of unconditional love is sharing. And at that point, then, we're not sharing, we're hoarding.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the, if we take a look at all of our attitudes and behaviors that we go through every day and run them through the three hurdles, what is your intent? And this might be worth the listeners, our listeners, writing down. What is your intention? What is your means? What is your effects? And examine our attitudes and behaviors, passing them over those three hurdles. It'll be a real eye-opening experience about those that contribute to unconditional love and those that don't.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Mark. You know, my sister and I, we're still talking about our last conversation and some of the gems that we discovered in that last conversation. And the way that you present everything makes it so clear and memorable. And it's useful right now, which is one of the reasons why I was drawn to have you on a regular basis, because there's so much information out here, how to do this, how to do that. I mean, we're in information overload. Kind of just stop and have very simple, sensible, and easy-to-apply principles in order to carry out something so great and so serious as far as the well-being of our planet goes, really. I mean, this reaches far beyond our immediate relationships and well into how we even treat our environment, you know.
Right, and that's why I mentioned that one of the benefits of living unconditional love is that it does restore your unity with all mankind versus it creates unity instead of separation. And as an example of an unconditional love attitude and behavior that works, here's an issue revolving around rectifying a lie or an untruth or a misrepresentation. We all deal with these in our lives. We have these, you might call them skeletons in the closet kind of things that we just as soon ignore. But mm-hmm. in unconditional love, we actually want to find resolution to them so we don't have to put energy into them anymore to hide them. So if we go to the three hurdles around rectifying a lie, then our intent is to help others have a more accurate perception of reality, and that we ours, that allows them to function more effectively in their life. So that's the intent. We want others to have a more accurate perception of reality. We're trying to rectify a lie here. So that's the intent. The means would be by disclosing the complete truth around a willfully misrepresented issue. So we need to have disclosure, communication.
Disclosure,
I'm sorry. You know, I've been telling you this for 11 years, and I'm sorry to report that it's not true. And I want to set things straight with you. So we communicate with them on that. And that's the means. And the effect ends up being, once we can move through the ego, emotional pain of standing up there and humbling ourselves in front of somebody, why we create greater interpersonal understanding, sharing, accountability, and personal effectiveness by stepping out and rectifying the issue. So there's something like rectifying a lie that easily clears all three hurdles and is very consistent with the four pillars of unconditional love. We share, we're honest, we allow freedom, and we find forgiveness for ourselves and others.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty is
and risk losing. That's a part of the whole process as well, is to just risk losing, because a lot of the times when you even brought up the issue of hoarding, that can come up in so many ways. Well, I want to hoard as much acceptance as possible, so I'm going to pretend to be something I'm not, or I want to hoard as much attention as possible, so I'm going to act this way to get this amount of attention. So being untrue to self in order to get what you think that untruth is going to bring you can be very detrimental. That's
absolutely
good that you covered that.
Yes, and our soul knows that we have, you might say, unlawfully gained what we have. We don't really own it or possess it, because it was not attained in unconditional loving ways. And the question that I ask my coaching clients when they ultimately mention problems that they have with their own personal integrity is I ask them, well, do you feel like you need to misrepresent yourself in order to attain something? Don't you have the strength and the ability to attain through truth what you want for yourself? And ultimately they realize that everybody has that strength. So they also have the strength to go back and create resolution around these old lingering ugly issues and bring people's reality back into alignment. That's the synergy effect that I mentioned earlier, where people can now become more united rather than separated.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed
that.
Yes.
On that, what you were saying, it was revealed to me today when I was, I mean, it's always been true, but it just tells you how things come back to you. And I was talking to someone who had a lot of influence, who was interested in some things that I was doing. And they were asking me questions about what I do, and you know, I said what I did and things like that, but I don't know how it came about, but I made the disclaimer because I had to remind myself that I always do so much better when I'm myself. And if you don't really like who I am, then it's not really meant to be whatever it is, whether it's a union in a business or whether it's a union in a relationship. I have to be who I am, because if I'm not, I'll get sick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your body really tells on you when you are not who you are. And a lot of people are taught to lie, and we don't really call lying what lying is. If it's something that you agree to, that you know deep in your soul that you're not in agreement with, yet you commit to it, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people have died early lives with committing to things to, and being who they're not, committing to jobs that they're not, committing to partners that doesn't agree with their soul, you know, committing to whole lifestyles as far as who they are. Now, I'm not speaking of actually doing something in a space and time that was an experience, you learned from it, and you moved on, but to completely live out something over a long period of time, I think a lot of people are doing that in their jobs and families today.
Mm-hmm. And in my coaching practice, focused on the stress relief and relaxation, people not having identified their inner truth and therefore not being able to live it and communicate it is the biggest category for the cause of stress and all the symptoms around it that manifest themselves physically and emotionally, is not living their inner truth. So I always work very closely with people to discover what that is, like you're saying, Candy, so that they don't have to live that through their lives and allow it to eat them from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad when that happens. And people die from it all the time. Or they're sick all their life.
They do.
Yep.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have any money, if you're broke, it's not that you're proclaiming to the universe that I'm broke, but you definitely don't want to pretend like you have money when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if those types of things are willing to live a lifestyle, and I notice a lot of couples go through that where when they meet, people pretend that their financial situation is better than it is or their mental situation is better than it is. And getting people to disclose, like, okay, I'm crazy, I just wanted you to know, or, you know, I don't have a cent to my name, so if you want to be with me, this is what we're going to deal with. I mean, it really makes things so much easier, you know, but when you're growing up, you're taught, well, don't disclose this or don't disclose that, don't show your hand, and don't say too much, and it's all these little rules, and you just can't keep up with all of that.
Right. It can become very difficult to keep track of the different stories we've told different people, and it's a huge energy demand to keep those things covered up. Like you say, it's so much simpler and easier just to live your inner truth, in which case then you don't have to devote energy to putting up walls and creating barriers and shutting people out and shuffling around information. You just don't have to do that. You can be completely present right in the moment. Yep. And actually, one of the benefits that I say about unconditional love relates directly to that, and I really love it. It's a statement that is one of my favorites, and that is, when you live unconditional love, you live in the now and can deal with any issue, with anyone, anytime, anywhere, because you are fully accountable for yourself.
That's right.
And in which case, then, you do not have to put up barriers to keep other people out or to restrict yourself. You can deal with anything, anywhere, and you can be completely spontaneous because you're completely true.
Right.
Yes.
And you're not blaming other people.
That's right. No,
I mean,
we can acknowledge other people's effects, but we don't use blame as a way of dealing with our challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That just consumes more energy and gets in the way of finding resolution to challenges.
Now, why does, this is kind of off the question thing here, and I just want to know what your opinion is. Why does love make people angry and uncomfortable? You know, you notice how if someone is arguing or having an issue, people tend to secretly relish in that, but the moment people show affection and love, people are very uncomfortable. I mean, even if you're showing it just towards yourself or a spouse or anything. People today seem to be uncomfortable with love. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's been said that there are actually only two emotions out there, fear and love.
And love, right.
So
right.
I would guess that if somebody is uncomfortable around love, they probably have a fear about something.
Thank
and it
you,
could be
Mom.
Deeper and maybe even, it may not even seem to be related to love. But there may be some fear either they learned that was taught to them, or that they've learned, or that they've kind of migrated over from another emotion around anger. But anger, again, is based in fear, and hate is based in fear. People will have issues with those things, and it probably swaps over to wanting to judge love as having undesirable aspects, and therefore we have fear of it versus an openness for sharing it.
Right.
So there's probably some fear at the base of people who live that way. And you mentioned that so many people have a challenge with love these days, or seem to be unpleasant about it or unaccepting of it. Kind of where I live here in Mount Shasta, we're all pretty much an extended family. And we have a big mountain here that's considered to be a global mystical landmark that puts out a lot of positive energy. And I'll tell you, around our community, love just flows. It's wonderful.
Wow.
There's a lot of trust. There's a lot of open expression of affection. And you should see the kids, how they hug each other and how the friends hug each other. And there's very little handshaking that takes place here. It's more hugs than handshakes. A lot of love gets passed around. And I just love, I mean, it's wonderful to see how the children pick up on it. And when they're raised that way, how gentle and loving and compassionate they are to the rest of the people in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very fortunate to live in a community where there's an abundance of love and an expression of love.
Yeah, that's really, you really are fortunate.
Yes.
Because
yep.
you get to see glimpses of that in different, you know, at different moments. But
mm-hmm.
to live in that, I guess that would be a definite blessing.
Yeah. I can remember my wife telling me that they had a policy at their family table of no kissing at the table, at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay,
mm-hmm.
well, what's the problem with that? So who knows? But, you know, those are traditions that get passed down, and people don't really ask themselves why or question the values. It just gets passed on. So, but I was wondering, Candy, we haven't... To check in with you. We haven't heard from any callers yet. Do you think we have anybody calling in that might have some questions?
Yeah, we do. Their hand is up now.
Maybe we might have provoked some thought in some of our listeners. I'd be happy to speak with them.
Okay, one moment. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hi,
yes, how are you?
I've never done this before. Hi, Coach Mark, and is it Candy?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm calling in because I have a situation that I think other people might be able to identify with. Working for a superior who you know absolutely in your heart is incompetent and in over their head. And my stress from that situation in December caused me significant physical illness and emotional problems to the point that I walked out of work and never returned in December and have now since submitted my retirement to that job. And I'm just now coming up with maybe enough energy to consider that I might like to sit down with this boss of mine that I don't respect, but I think I have a unfinished business with him that would bring me to a better position of unconditional love so that I don't continue to drag this around with me for eternity. And by the way, my name is Ruth, and I live in Michigan.
Oh, thought I might recognize that voice.
You think so?
I have spoken with this woman before.
I have been a client of Coach Mark E. Gibson.
Oh, that's great. Lucky you.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely. He's the best.
And I can almost hire Ruth as my publicist. She also happens to be my sister. Isn't that cute?
Well, how would you handle that, tell her to handle that, Mark, because a lot of people are going through transitions like that.
Right. So if I catch the drift here, is that, Ruth, you're looking to find some kind of resolution within you so you're not carrying this negative energy with you around day after day, year after year. Is that it?
Right. Correct.
Right. Well, you made probably the first most important and perhaps hardest step is recognition that it exists, and coupled with it that you want to resolve it. A lot of people would go in denial about that challenge of trying to rectify a relationship, and as a result, every time it comes up in their mind, they tend to go back into their memory and relive the pain around it, and that just increases one's painful experience in the moment of something that's historical. It's over with because you no longer work for this person. Is that right?
That's right. I retired.
Yes. So for you to acknowledge that there's an unfinished issue is great. That's the first step. And now the challenge for you is to figure out how you can resolve it. And in terms of thinking on unconditional love, if you think about all the different ways that you could resolve that issue, you could pass each one of those ideas over the three hurdles that we discussed earlier. What is your intent? What is your means? And what would be your effect? And you could stop and consider all the different avenues of approach that you could use to find resolution and see which one of those works best. Have you given much thought to that? How are you going to do it?
No. But I know it will be face to face.
Okay.
Because I'm a good communicator,
mm-hmm.
Verbally, and I think it's more personal that I not type it out or write it in a letter. I perceive that I would have to schedule an appointment with this person ahead of time. Something that wouldn't mean that he meets with me for 3 minutes and I got to go, I got a meeting, and really tell him my reason for wanting to meet with him. I think that's only fair.
Right. So how would you describe why you want to meet with him?
How would I describe
what's your goal here?
That's a really good question, Mark. I can't leave it the way I did. I'm very uncomfortable with my departure. It was sudden. I was physically ill. I was having huge chest pains and high blood pressure, and my thyroid had stopped working as a result of stress. And I just went in one day and said, I can't take it anymore. I can't do this. And I'm not coming in tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen after that. And I never went back. And I really don't like leaving this dangling participle out there that doesn't really have closure.
Right.
I'm going to see him somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know where we're going to bump into each other, but I know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll be very uncomfortable for both of us.
So do you think it's possible, Ruth, for you to state what your goal is in one sentence?
To have a professional closure to our relationship.
Good. Yes, there you go. Right? And perhaps as a attachment to that, you're trying to create peace of mind for yourself around this issue.
Yes. And I'll bet he'd like a little, too.
Maybe. And wouldn't that be a very nice, unconditionally loving thing if you could communicate with him and he gets peace of mind out of it also?
Yes.
Then you're creating a win-win situation.
Yes. So I'm thinking about this now. And that's saying a lot because, you know, a month ago I would never have even thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your topic of unconditional love, and it's my unfinished business as I cross off these things on my list that I knew needed to happen between December and now to tie up loose ends, and this is a loose end still.
Yes. If we were to look back at the four pillars of unconditional love, we have the forgiveness, sharing, freedom, and honesty. You probably can figure out a way to factor all of those into your means and into your effects so that when you sit with him, it's not a blame game. You allow him to be the person he was, to have his own reality separate from yours, and let him know that you're here to create a win-win situation. Are you interested, and can we renew our relationship and get back on good terms? Is that what you want to achieve?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So you go in there with an open mind that allows everybody to be themselves.
Okay, Mark, we have another caller on. Ruth, I want you to stay on. I'm not going to mute you out because you may be able to join in and kind of chime in where you need to. Of course, this is always a good discussion when we're talking about forgiveness and going back. that too. So hold a thought, everybody, one moment.
We'll hold that, yes. We can get back to that.
Hello?
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you're
all on. Oh, hi, this is John Meshington, a long-time listener, first-time caller. How are you guys doing?
Good, John.
Hi, John. Welcome.
Well, I just want to say first off, you know, I enjoy listening to the show, and this has been really good just to hear things from a different perspective that I'm not entirely used to and everything, you know? So I just wanted to go ahead and get that out there. But let me get into the real reason I called. Mark, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. So you want to coach single mothers in your book. That's your whole goal and everything, from what I understand. And
I should clarify something, John. Here.
Okay.
My participation in this interview and working with Candy is around helping single mothers because they're typically a highly stressed group of our population. My book on unconditional love is written separately about unconditional love in general. It was not written specifically for single mothers.
Okay, but,
Your show is not specifically for single moms. It's for everybody, really.
Yeah, okay.
So you're into single mothers because you like MILFs is what I'm getting from this.
Well, I have a daughter who's a single mother, so I appreciate those trials and tribulations that she goes through, and I can identify with it personally. This is challenging for me to be as supportive of a father as I can.
Was that your question,
John?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh.
But, Ruth, that was very, very good, Mark, how you actually brought her around to the goal of wanting to resolve that conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that came up for me immediately was as far as meeting the other person, is that situational from what in your experience, or is that due to a personality preference? When do you say, okay, you need the other person in order to put this thing to rest, or you don't need the other person to put something to rest?
Well, I don't need the other person to put it to rest. I need this for my peace of mind and peace of soul.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does Mark have any suggestions, alternatives, if someone doesn't even feel the need to confront the other person? Because in that particular instance, both of you sound, you know, like you said, you didn't like the way you left it and things like that, so you needed to make that peace for yourself. Now, if someone, say with children, Mark, who have been wronged by a parent who's dead or who won't speak to them and things like that, but they just really want to talk to the other person and they're holding back this process of unconditional love because they can't talk to the person, how do you get them to move beyond not needing to talk to the other person?
Right. One of the ideas that I've developed in the Unconditional Love book is that you can change history. And when I further expand on it, what I mean to say by saying that is that actually we can change our perception of history. If somebody felt like they were wronged by a parent and they no longer can approach that parent to find resolution around the issue, if they're deceased or physically not available or just can't communicate, and then it's up to the individual to decide how they want to deal with it. They don't have to deny it happened, but they can certainly exercise their God-given strengths to control how they react and respond to their ideas around the wrongness and eventually find forgiveness. If anybody does much research on forgiveness, we'll find out that the first and perhaps the foremost effect on forgiveness is what it does for the person who's doing the forgiving, not the forgiven. People get peace of mind perhaps just by working with between their ears and never communicating in an effort to find forgiveness for a wrong that was done to them, and they may never communicate with the other person involved. Or it might even be themselves. Find forgiveness for yourself. Understand that we all make mistakes. Find acceptance. Come from compassion. Learn from the mistakes. And move forward. As long as we continue to drag the baggage with us through us in our lives, it'll just slow our personal and spiritual growth down. We need to find resolution. Mm-hmm. And typically a person can do that through finding forgiveness for themselves as well as somebody else. And if they can communicate with somebody else and find that forgiveness, like Ruth was talking about, where she wants to create a win-win, then now what we're talking about doing is actually sharing the spirit of unconditional love and creating unity again, overcoming separation.
Yes, I was going to ask Ruth. Ruth, do you have any anticipations, or are you just trusting the universe in the process?
Let's see. Although my heart beats a little faster just thinking about approaching this topic, I'm gonna. My mother always said that would be Mark's mother also. Let go and let God.
Exactly.
So I'm going to approach it from the it will be fine. And I'm good at grounded sharing and being honest, and there's no reason for me to be abrasive or create a lose-lose situation, which is the last thing I want to do is arm wrestle the guy.
Right.
He'll probably be relieved. And I know I've talked with people where things have gone the other way, where the person actually wants to develop a closer relationship once that has been broken. But the other person is like, no, I was just looking for a little resolution. I didn't want to really develop anything any closer, you know. You know, somebody might say, oh, well, come over to the house for a barbecue. I'm so glad that's over with. And you're like, no, I don't think I want to come to your house. I'm not ready to eat with you yet. However, you know.
Right.
So it's surprising how some of those things can go and how we have to be prepared for whatever. And I definitely send my prayers and positive energy with you through that process.
Well, for me, positions, this is somebody high up the chain of command, and it's just my own opinion that he owes me an apology, and I can't say that I'm going to get it, and I can't say that that would be why I'm going there, but I think that over time, this 6'6" macho, you know, gentleman will, I think he's probably already seen the errors of his ways. I know I am missed and will be missed now that I've gone ahead and retired, and I think it will really be as, I think it will be good for him that I bring this up, because he is not going to contact me. I'm positive he is not going to contact me.
Well, you're seeking closure for yourself.
Yes.
And it could be closure for him, too.
I'm just thinking it might.
Yeah. And if your intentions are and means are constructive, then you can go in there and do what you need to do and hope that he benefits from it, too, and constantly remind yourself that you want him to get benefit out of it also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Something you mentioned earlier, Ruth, that is was very good, and that was the let go, let God aspect of it, which is coming from a very high level about how to deal with the issues of life. And one of the things that is conspicuously absent when we practice let go, let God, is our egos. When we say let go, let God, we have detached our egos from the driving force that's driving the issue and from being attached to the outcome. This is a manifestation of unconditional love. Our egos are no longer invested in what we're doing and in the outcome.
How was it that you put it, Candy, your phrase? Do you recall? Basically, let the universe take over? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I definitely find that that works.
Right.
Because a lot of the times when we try to control it, it just never works out. It never works out. Never works out when we try to control it. But again, going back to not being afraid to lose or not being afraid to win. Sometimes we talk about losing, but sometimes people are afraid to win. Just even when I mentioned the positive portion of it, some people are so happy living in negativity that they actually are afraid of what will happen if this turns out really positive. Am I ready to make the shift? And I'm going to take this call. We have another caller. Hold one second. Hello, Erica, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Hi. So I'll make it quick because I know we only have a couple of minutes left. I've been listening.
No, don't rush. It's okay.
Okay.
What is your name, please?
I'm sorry. My name is Erica.
Oh, yes, Erica. Thank you.
And I've listened before, and I'm listening again today, and it brought up something that I've been having an issue with. I have a friend that I've been friends with for 20 years at least. It's never really been a balanced relationship. I've always felt I was more of a friend than she was. I was more of a friend to her than she was to me. And recently she became engaged and asked me to be a part of her wedding. And I was hesitant because there have been times in the past where she's, you know, been upset with me over something very small and it's blown up into something very big. Or they've just always felt like there's been tension in our relationship from her point of view. Like, I've always felt she's had an issue with me, but not necessarily that I've had the same issues with her. Anyway, skip forward. I had been unemployed for a little while, didn't buy my dress by her given date, which was 6 months prior to the wedding. And I was kicked out of the wedding. And it was just very hurtful because it wasn't really that I didn't want to buy the dress. I just didn't have the funds at the time, and it was something that I was working towards buying. But before I was able to buy the dress, she kicked me out of the wedding. And lately, I've just been having a lot of feelings about it, that she wrote me some really she wrote letters that bothered me because they were accusing me of things in the past and reasons why she just didn't want me to be in her wedding, and I never responded to them. And now here we are 5 months later, 1 month before her wedding, and I want to respond. And I guess, A, is it wise, you know, for me to respond now that I'm feeling the need to respond, or should I wait till after the wedding? And two, how do I respond in a way that's not from anger, but a way that she will hear my concerns that I've been silent on for for a very long time, and understand that I'm, you know, I don't even know if it's worth finishing the relationship, or I guess not finishing, but taking up the relationship where we left off, or if it's closure for me. But just, you know, I just am confused as to what I should do and how I should do it in a way that, you know, I felt always beat down by this person and never really having a voice. And at this point, I feel like I want to say something.
So you've got the background issues going on that have been disturbing to you, as well as the specific issue around the dress and then being bumped out of the wedding party.
Especially when she was in college, going back for her MBA, I sent her money to, you know, I bought her a computer, I sent her money for a phone bill, I used to pay her rent. Like, I've done so many things for her when she had nothing, and I just feel like the tables have turned, and she just wasn't as understanding in my situation. Not that I was asking her to purchase the dress for me, but I just asked her to give me some time to purchase the dress, so.
Well, can I make some suggestions here, Erica?
Yes.
In my coaching practice, working with people trying to resolve issues like this, one of the first things I suggest is take time to figure out how to create a win-win outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very tempting for one to come from our damaged ego and say, well, you this and you that and I this and I did that and you're ungrateful and you did this hurtful to me. But if we approach things that way, then we're not as likely to create a win-win outcome. And it sounds to me like you value the relationship still. So I would suggest you take some time to think, how can you make a win for yourself, which means you have to decide, like I was asking Ruth, what's your goal here? You know, see if you can narrow that down to one sentence. What are you trying to do? And if you achieve that, you would consider it a win for yourself. And then, coming from an unconditionally loving point of view, try to guess how you can create a win for your friend. How can you approach the subject matter, bring it on, offer suggestions, discuss it with her honestly and openly, and see if you can't work with this thing and massage it to the point where it's a win for her, where by the time you're through moving through the issue, she's has a new understanding, you have a new understanding, and your friendship might actually grow together. Now, this is actually a challenging thing to do. It's a guessing game to a degree, but the intent is constructive. You're trying to create a win-win outcome, which means you're not going to have a knee-jerk reaction in anger or disappointment over the telephone. You're going to think this thing out, might even write it out to the point where you say, okay, this is a win. I think this would be a win for me, this would be a win for her, and this is how I'm going to approach it. And more
Mark, can I ask you a question on Erica's behalf and everybody else who's gone through things like this? Is it meant for us to be connected with everybody? Because just like the universe gives and replenishes, the universe cleanses and takes away. And I've found a lot of situations where situations continue to happen over and over and over, and we have these uneasy feelings, and, you know, we keep trying certain things, and if it doesn't work, isn't that a part of nature as well? Everything doesn't have to work.
That's right. There's not necessarily a guaranteed natural accommodation or complementary arrangement. However, who has enough information to determine that? So then we look at, say, well, what's the best thing to do from here? And the best thing to do from here would be to make the positive choices that build unity, not separation.
And I think my issue is that I just never said anything in my defense. I just, at the time, there was a lot of other things going on in my life that I just needed to concentrate on, and I didn't have the energy to say anything. So at this point, I just want to say something, and I don't know what to say or when to say it or how to say it. So I think that you're right.
Erica, can I make a suggestion to you?
Mm-hmm.
I would be delighted to have you go to my website at relaxyourlifenow.com and sign up for my free complimentary coaching consultation, which lasts 45 minutes. And you and I can specifically take up that issue over the telephone with no charge.
Okay, that would be great.
And we could explore that to your heart's delight.
Okay.
And see what your choices are.
Well, thank you so much.
That's what I'd like to do. And we can get into that more deeper and work out some outcomes for you.
Okay, I will do that.
You have a great intent, I think, and it's just a matter of how to implement it to make a win-win.
Well, thank you so much, Candy. You're doing a great job as always.
Well, thanks for calling me. I appreciate you, your patience.
Oh, no problem. I'll hang up so you guys can finish off the show.
Okay.
Goodbye, thanks. Erica.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to say goodbye also.
Okay.
Ruth's going to sign off also. Thank you, Candy.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you,
Coach Markey.
You're welcome.
And that's Markey, not Mark E. It's Markey. He's murky to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Mark, that was such a great example. Those were both excellent examples.
Isn't that something, yeah?
Yes. Erica, she listens quite a bit. She listens in. And she doesn't call. But she listens because she'll say that she's listening. So we have quite a few listeners who will hear us, and it may take them a moment to call.
Yes.
So what happens with that is the more you're on, the more people feel comfortable.
Yes, I can understand that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I'm looking forward to people calling in even more now. That's just excellent advice.
And I would love to hear from our listeners, again, going to my website at relaxyourlifenow.com. The complimentary coaching session is open to anyone and everyone who'd like to explore an issue with me and get a sample of my stress relief and relaxation coaching and learn more about how unconditional love can help strengthen their lives.
Right. Well, we are not streaming live at this moment because we ran out of time. However,
yep, okay.
Those who are on or in can still hear us.
Yep.
So I just want to take this time to thank you once again for your wisdom, your professionalism, and your spiritual self. And and I will definitely get with you.
Yeah, we'll talk.
We're going to schedule our next session.
I want to thank you, Candy, for facilitating all of this growth for all of us. You're very good at that.
You're welcome.
Very effective.
You're welcome.
I certainly want to work with you and collaborate on more stuff. This is just great. I enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you. And as usual, like I told people, reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind.
That's right.
I know you can do it.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.